Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 46 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Jonathan Burton.
And the easiest thing to do and the safest thing to do is walk. And we know that being outdoors is really good for you.
A proposed trail in downtown Moorhead will move forward, even though the planning group was not awarded a grant.
A hiker challenge orientation will be held tonight in Moorhead.
A state health organization has launched a service to help teens quit vaping.
Cost estimates for school safety mandates have lawmakers reconsidering a phase-in.
Buckle up, phones down, launched in the Commonwealth this week.
In sports, the Moorhead volleyball team will try and serve up a win in the second round of the OVC tournament play tonight.
But Luke has the stock report.
Mostly cloudy skies tonight with a low around 33. We'll have a look at your region's extended forecast after this news.
A proposed trail in downtown Moorhead did not receive a grant that would have funded the entire project, but the group is still planning to begin work soon. The Triplet Valley Trail project will link West Moorhead to the city park and eventually allow residents to walk from Clearfield to Rodburn Elementary School without setting foot on a main roadway. Scott Davidson works with the Daniel Boone Rails to Trails group, which is planning the project. He says they have most of the funding for the bridge and the pathway is already in place at the Memorial Tree Walk.
So there are exposed roots and some muddy areas, and then it goes on to a grassy berm along the creek, and then it reaches the area where it would cross Oxley Branch. And then you would get behind the Pennzoil Change, and this is right at the intersection of the 60 and the 32. And then you'd be on to KFC, and then you're into the Stone Street Shopping Center. And so you could ride a mountain bike, you could walk there. For most of the people who would use the trail, this would be adequate to begin moving back and forth.
The group plans to host a small fundraising event on December 2nd. For more information, check the group's Facebook page.
The Sheltowee Trace Association will be hosting a hiker challenge orientation in Moorhead this evening. The meeting is open to anyone who may be interested in participating in the challenge, which aims to hike the entirety of the over 300-mile-long trail over the course of a year. Steve Barber is the executive director of the association. He says there will be a lot of information to take in at the meeting.
Tonight, we'll discuss things that will help them along the way, information about the trail and how the trail got founded and built, and information about gear I think is helpful, some outdoor skills that we think they need to know or at least refresh their memory about, and the opportunity to give them some tips from other folks over the years that have successfully completed the hiking challenge.
The orientation begins at 6:30 at the Center for Health Education and Research in Moorhead.
The Kentucky Department for Public Health has launched a free service called My Life, My Quit, aimed at helping teens quit vaping. The program comes as the Center for Disease Control and Prevention works to curb a nationwide epidemic of severe lung injury associated with vaping. Elizabeth Anderson Hoagland of the Kentucky Department for Public Health says that while states can't compete with the billions of dollars spent on vape products advertising by e-cigarette companies, she believes parents and communities are starting to take the risk of vaping seriously.
What we do have, I think, is we do have credibility, and we have the best interests of the public in mind, because I don't get paid extra to help someone quit smoking. But we know that someone from an e-cigarette company, they might get paid extra if they get more people using their product.
High school students in the Commonwealth are more than twice as likely as adults to use e-cigarettes. Kentucky is the 13th state in the country to offer a version of My Life, My Quit service. The push for a federal ban on flavored e-cigarettes has currently stalled.
Discussions surrounding the long-delayed Real ID driver's licenses have largely focused on meeting federal deadlines and how Kentucky transportation officials plan to distribute the IDs. The rollout has been plagued by delays as well as opposition from some states. Kate Miller is with the ACLU of Kentucky. She says her organization has raised red flags about privacy and personal information ending up on a national database that could enable tracking of citizens who haven't been accused of a crime.
You know, the ACLU sometimes can maybe get a little bit of a reputation for being overly concerned with the privacy of Americans, but especially in modern day when we have such such dramatic changes when it comes to technology and the advancements of technology, these types of things become all the more real. And so that's why they're such a concern to us.
Still, Miller says gathering the right documents and traveling to one of 12 planned regional centers to obtain the licenses is likely to cause the biggest headaches for Kentuckians. The state has until October 2020 to implement the new licenses, which will come in two forms, a standard license and a voluntary travel ID, which can be used to board domestic flights.
Cost estimates for implementing new state-mandated school safety reforms in Kentucky have lawmakers talking about a phased-in approach. WUKY's Josh James has details.
The General Assembly approved comprehensive bipartisan school safety legislation this year, calling for upgrades to buildings, the hiring of more counselors, active shooter training for some personnel, and other changes aimed at preventing attacks like the one that left two dead at Marshall County High School in 2018. But WDRB reports the Kentucky School Boards Association predicts districts will need roughly $18 million to bring buildings into compliance and more than $120 million annually to pay for counselors and resource officers. Those numbers come from a survey sent to the state school districts this year, to which about a third responded. Funding the safety measures in an already tight budget year may require lawmakers to prioritize elements of the plan that should be funded first. That's according to Senator Max Wise, who sponsored the school safety bill. Lawmakers meet in January to begin work on a two-year spending plan. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
Kentucky's highways will be busy with travelers during Thanksgiving week, and safety officials are advising them to buckle up their seatbelts and put down their phones. Officials with the Kentucky Office of Highway Safety say this is one of the busiest travel times, and deaths and injuries can be prevented by fastening safety belts and putting cell phones down. Last year, there were nearly 2,000 crashes during the Thanksgiving holiday in Kentucky, with 420 injuries and 7 deaths. 3 of the people killed weren't wearing a seatbelt, and 1 death involved a distraction. As of Thursday, there have been 659 Kentucky roadway deaths in 2019, 10 more than the same time last year. Of those deaths, 265 weren't wearing a seatbelt, and over 140 involved distractions.
Overall child well-being in the Commonwealth is improving, but access to funding for critical programs in the next decade will depend on accurate 2020 census counts. That's according to a new report by Kentucky Youth Advocates. Dr. Terry Brooks of Kentucky Youth Advocates, the organization that analyzed the data, says the state is making progress, but the work can't stop now.
We also can't be naive, however. When we live in a state where nearly half of kindergartners are entering school not prepared to learn, when the trend line is going in the wrong direction, when it comes to kids transitioning out of foster care, being reunited safely with their parents, there is still a lot of work to do.
According to the report, the number of Kentucky children in foster care continues to increase, with nearly 47 out of every 1,000 placed in foster care. 36% of children exiting foster care reunify with their parents. We'll have a look at more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation and Wellness Center at Morehead State University. The Wilson Bowling Lanes in the Laughlin Building are open to the public for birthday parties, youth groups, by-the-hour or per-game pricing. Cosmic Bowling features disco and black lights, open Tuesday through Saturday from 5 to 9 p.m. For more information and reservations, the phone number is 606-776-3457.
Police in Maysville are investigating an alleged shooting incident. WMKY's Tanner Boyd has the story.
The Ledger Independent reports the incident occurred on the east end of Maysville Wednesday. Officials say an individual entered Little Sack Grocery that evening, requesting assistance, telling employees he had been shot. Maysville's police chief says the man was sent to the hospital where he was treated for his injuries. Chief Jared Muse says due to the investigation being in its early stages, no further information could be released at this time. In the meantime, officers are continuing to investigate an alleyway near the store. For WMKY News, I'm Tanner Boyd.
Students and parents are raising safety concerns at Montgomery County High School, as several videos circulated social media this week showing students being targeted by violence. A video that LAX18 obtained appears to show a student being the target of one of the attacks. In the video, one student approaches a victim and starts hitting him. Eleanor Buckley is a student at Montgomery High. She tells LAX18 attacks like that are not unusual.
I feel like there's definitely a group in our school that targets the ones that are seen as weak or the ones that are seen as different. If this continues throughout the year, then it's only going to get worse. And I don't know if I want to spend my senior year being scared or not being able to get to my class because people are blocking the halls.
Montgomery County Superintendent Dr. Matthew Thompson responded via Facebook. He says the administration has increased supervision and is proactively addressing the matter.
A Lawrenceburg man accused of plotting a mass shooting at a Kentucky school pleaded guilty to federal charges today. Investigators say Dylan Jarl used the social media platform Reddit to send online threats that he intended to hurt people at a school. Jarl pleaded guilty to threatening communications, cyberstalking, making false statements, and possessing a weapon for a violent crime. Sentencing is scheduled for April 1st. In October 2018, police stopped Jarl as he was pulling out of his driveway with the means to carry out an attack. Police say they found a gun, more than 200 rounds of ammunition, and a Kevlar vest. Troopers later found notebooks with details of prior school shootings and shooters, along with a checklist of items.
A Lexington woman has been sentenced for her part in allegedly stabbing and beating a man after breaking into his Pike County home. The Commonwealth's attorney says 45-year-old Tanya Caldwell broke into Tom Varney's home in Forest Hills alongside an unnamed female juvenile. According to the attorney, they beat Varney with a crowbar and stabbed him repeatedly. LAX18 was told that the emergency room doctor who testified said the man had life-threatening injuries. Despite this, Varney did survive. Caldwell was reportedly given a 10-year prison sentence on a first-degree assault charge.
The woman charged with murder in connection to Leanna Brumley's disappearance appeared in court on Wednesday. The Pulaski County Sheriff's Office charged Danelle Powell with murder. New details on what led up to the killing came out during Powell's hearing. Lieutenant Detective Bobby Jones is with the Pulaski County Sheriff's Office. He tells WKYT Brumley was initially shot.
The body was then struck with a hatchet by Gerald Avalon Hendricks, according to Danelle Powell. And they attempted to burn the body.
Investigators testified that Powell claimed she was forced at gunpoint to kill Brumley and that her and her children's lives were threatened.
A former Danville High School coach pleaded guilty yesterday to 4 counts of sodomy from charges in 2018. 70-year-old Thomas Duffy was indicted last year and has pled guilty on all counts. Commonwealth Attorney Richard Bottoms recommended that Duffy be sentenced to 5 years in prison for each count served concurrently. Probation for Duffy will be decided on January 7th, 2020, at his hearing. LAX18 reports Bottoms also requested Duffy be put on the sex offenders list. Duffy coached at several other local schools, including the Highlands and Henderson County.
A former employee at George Rogers Clark High School in Winchester has pled guilty to stealing $219,000 from the school's student activity account. The Winchester Sun reports 61-year-old Dixie Rigney pleaded guilty in the Clark Circuit Court to 1 count each of theft by unlawful taking over $10,000, tampering with physical evidence, and second-degree forgery. Rigney admitted to taking the cash from the fund, then altering or forging records at the school. Prosecutors recommend she serve 5 years for the theft charge, along with a year each for the forgery and tampering charges. Rigney's sentencing is scheduled for February. Full restitution has already been paid.
A federal lawsuit is still pending over Dylan Stratton's death at the Franklin County Regional Jail. His mother filed the wrongful death suit claiming her son died in the jail due to gross negligence. Leslie Glass said her son, who was in drug withdrawal, didn't receive emergency medical care and, as a result, died while in custody. Glass is also suing the medical company that provides health services to the jail. The complaint says Stratton would not have died but for the defendant's indifference to his untreated benzodiazepine withdrawal. LAX18 reports the Kentucky Board of Nursing is reviewing Stratton's medical records by the jail's medical staff. Calls to the Board of Nursing were not returned today.
Taking a look at your region's weather report. This afternoon, a 40% chance of rain, mostly cloudy, with a steady temperature around 45. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low around 33. Saturday, 90% chance of rain with a high near 51. Saturday night, 60% chance of rain, cloudy with a low around 35. Sunday, partly sunny with a high near 48. Sunday night, partly cloudy with a low around 33. Monday, mostly sunny with a high near 55. Monday night, partly cloudy with a low around 37.
On our feature segment today, commentator Dr. John Modaff wonders if in keeping our republic, we might also lose it.
Noting that little to nothing has been said about President Trump in this commentary series, a friend recently asked me why I thought the Democrat Party members in Washington, D.C. seemed so hell-bent on impeaching and removing this president. I think they asked me because they know I haven't been a Trump fan since losing a bet on who would win on The Apprentice years ago. So they knew no defense of him would come from me, and my main reaction to him basically is disinterest. That got me to thinking, why would the Democrats want Mr. Trump gone? After all, as satisfying as an impeachment and removal might be, there's always the morning after. So why impeachment? It can't be the money. Congress tolerates public servants mysteriously gaining fantastic wealth while serving at government jobs. Money moves around strangely, in other words, and no one has been impeached. Can't be the sex. Congress has admitted paying millions of tax dollars to private citizens in payment for silence regarding congressional sex offenses. No one has been impeached. It can't be about political bullying. Democrats do exactly the same sorts of things as when they pressured Ukraine with the recent letter and visits. And presidents have pressured other nations to do things in return for support or the removal of sanctions. And individual presidential administrations have benefited from these compliances and have boasted about them. Well, can't be the past, can it? Mr. Trump used to be a great Democrat donor, hung out with the Democrats, loved the Clintons, and behaved like a Democrat in nearly every way until he became a Republican. Maybe that's what they're mad about. Now, none of these reasons, which are touted as motivations for hating the current tenant of 1600 and for impeaching him, seems the real reason. I've concluded that since none of the so-called misdemeanors are actually crimes, nor have they been prosecuted in the past when other presidents and congresspersons have done them, one conclusion stands. The Democrats want Mike Pence to be president. Now, that is scary. Why do they want Mr. Pence? Time for an investigation. I'm John Modaff.
Dr. John Modaff is a professor of speech here at Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Jonathan Burton and Chaz Jenkins, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. Thank you so much for joining us on this beautiful Friday afternoon. Ty Martin has a look at sports right after this timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center, offering paper and document shredding services for Morehead and Round County residents, community groups, businesses, and industry. Secure, confidential, and HIPAA-compliant, drop off or pick up by appointment at 784-1250. That's 784-1250. Located near the Morehead City Park, the Community Recycling Center, keeping the environment clean and green. 784-1250. Facebook and online at moreheadrecycling.org.
The Eagles are headed to the second round of the OVC. For WMKY Sports, I'm Ty Martin. Morehead State University's volleyball team will compete in the second round of the Ohio Valley Conference tournament tonight in Jacksonville, Alabama. The 22-8 Eagles are coming off a 3-1 win over Austin Peay in the tourney's first round yesterday afternoon. Head coach Jamie Gordon says his team is looking for payback when they face Jacksonville State tonight.
I think the team is looking forward to and excited about this opportunity. And that's again, as a team, what you just want to be able to do is have a chance. You know, put yourself in a position to have the opportunity. And that's, I think, what we've been doing all season long. And so that's what we have coming up tonight, is an opportunity to play a very good team on their court in a good environment. And so I think it'll be a fun match for us, and you know, hopefully we'll be ready to face the challenge.
First service set for 7 p.m. You can watch that game on ESPN+. The Morehead State men's basketball team continues its road trip tonight. The Eagles are in Indianapolis to take on the Butler Bulldogs. MSU has started the season strong, but head coach Preston Spradlin says this road trip will be a good indicator of where his team is really at.
We've been really good defensively, holding teams to under 40%, winning the battle of the boards. We've We've been a really good offensive rebounding team. Of course, that challenge is going to be tested here this week as well. And so that's been our identity, and I think your true identity is when you get tested against some much better competition and opponents like we're going to this week.
The Eagles are 4-1 so far on the young season, and the Bulldogs come in with a 4-0 record. MSU and Butler tip off tonight at 7 p.m. on our sister station, WIVY 96.3 FM. The Morehead State University football team will play their final game of the season tomorrow. It's senior day for the Eagles, and they'll be facing off with Stetson, who enters the game at 6-4 on the year. Head coach Rob Tenyer says his guys will be very active on both sides of the football.
Defensively, we're going to have to stop the run game. You know, they got a good little freshman running back. The quarterback is also a run threat. And defensively, you know, they're going to play a lot of man coverage and bring pressure. And so we're going to have to beat man coverage. We're going to have to win some 50-50 throws down the field. And I'd like to really get that turnover cane out and create some turnovers on defense this week.
Kickoff is set for 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Several area high schools are headed to the Elite Eight rounds of the 2019 UK Orthopedics KHSAA Commonwealth Gridiron Bowl tonight. Wes Carter will face off with Beechwood. The Comets are coming off a 50-12 win over Shelby Valley last Friday to advance. The 2A Wes Carter team stands at 9-3 this season. At 10-2 on the season, Fleming County is in the running for the 3A championship. The Panthers beat Mason County 35-7 on Friday. They'll face off with Bell County this Friday. One town in the WMKY listening area will host two games tonight. Paintsville Independent will face off with Williamsburg in the 1A contest. The Tigers are 9-3 this season, coming off a 32-18 win over Raceland Friday. Finally, Johnson Central is looking for a 4A title. The undefeated Golden Eagles beat Harlan County 50-6 last Friday. They'll face off with Wayne County at home. All four of these games kick off tonight at 7:30 p.m. The University of Kentucky football team is looking to keep their momentum going as they face off with Tennessee Martin tomorrow. The Wildcats are coming off a win against Vanderbilt last weekend and are looking to maintain bowl eligibility for the fourth straight year. Head coach Mark Stoops tells UK Athletics he needs all his guys to be focused heading into the game.
We want to go in and play a complete football game, and that's our focus and our energy. As always, I mean, I like to roll guys in, and it's important for our program. It's just important in the development phase. So as many bodies as we can get in, we always are looking to do that. But, we're going in with our starters, dialed in and focused and ready to play, and hopefully we can get some other guys in.
Kickoff from Kroger Field is set for 3:30 tomorrow. And finally in sports this afternoon, the University of Kentucky basketball team is looking to get back on track this week against Mount St. Mary's. The Wildcats are coming off a win against Utah Valley, but the team is still feeling the sting from a loss to Evansville a couple weeks ago. When discussing the matter, assistant coach Joel Justice tells UK Athletics, teams want a tough schedule to get a gauge for the postseason, and that's what they got.
I think when you put together a schedule, you're planning to go and play teams that are going to give you a good look for March. I think that Cal has always said that whenever we go into the postseason, that we've seen all different types of teams and different styles of play, and I think that's what we look for when we put together a schedule.
The Wildcats will be at home tomorrow evening. Tip-off against Mount St. Mary's is scheduled for 7 o'clock. And that's going to do it for sports. For WMKY, I'm Ty Martin.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Football welcomes Stetson this weekend for Senior Day and their final home game of the season. Kickoff tomorrow afternoon is 1 p.m. Tickets and more information from the Eagle Athletics Office at 783-2089 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Robert W. Baird. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks rose but posted their first weekly decline in over a month amid lingering worries about U.S.-China trade talks. And the Dow Industrials did have a gain today of 109.33, finishing at 27,875.62. The S&P 500 was up 6.75 at 3110.29. And the NASDAQ Composite was up 13.67 at 8519.88. President Trump today told Fox News that both sides were, quote, very close to reaching a trade agreement. noting that we have a very good chance to make the deal, and that comment lifted market sentiment during the day. His comments came after Chinese President Xi Jinping said that Beijing wants to work for a trade deal with the U.S., but is, quote, not afraid to fight back. Xi also told a visiting U.S. business delegation that China holds a, quote, positive attitude toward the trade talks. Now, of course, stocks have rallied to record highs recently on this trade news. And the market's, of course, now just hovering just below all-time highs. But over the past month, the S&P 500 and the Dow Jones are both up around 4%, while the NASDAQ has rallied 5.1%. On the data front, consumer sentiment for November came in better than expected. The index rose to 96.8 from 95.5 in October. And in corporate news, Nordstrom rallied more than 10% on better-than-expected earnings. The retailer was the best performer in the S&P 500. Intuit slid more than 4% and was among the broad index's worst-performing stocks on the back of disappointing earnings guidance. In the commodities markets, oil was down 1%, finishing at $57.97 a barrel. Gold was down $1.10, finishing at $1,462.50 an ounce. Overseas in Europe, stocks had a good day, with the Stock 600 index up almost 0.5%. It was a mixed bag in Asia. The Nikkei was up 0.3%, but the Shanghai Composite was down 0.625%. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Fifth Third Bank up 32 cents at 3010, Dollar General down 99 cents at 159.79, UPS down 19 cents at 119.33, Marathon Petroleum down 90 cents at 62.34, and Anthem was down $2.01, finishing at 291.72. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop. A community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Moorhead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday, online, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Taking another look at your weather forecast. This afternoon, a 40% chance of rain, mostly cloudy with a steady temperature around 45. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low around 33. Saturday, 90% chance of rain with a high near 51. Saturday night, 60% chance of rain, cloudy with a low around 35. Sunday, partly sunny with a high near 48. Sunday night, partly cloudy with a low around 33. And Monday, mostly sunny with a high near 55.
Look at some events coming up around the region. The Christians Women's Group of Johnson First Church of God on Cranston Road will host a Christmas bazaar from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Saturday, November 23rd. Items for sale include Christmas crafts and decorations, baked goods, and more. Hot dogs, chips, and drinks will be sold beginning at 11 a.m.
The MSU Adult Learning Center provides new books to children through a storybook Christmas. Books may be donated at Moorhead State Public Radio until Friday, November 29th, or at other locations throughout Moorhead and Round County. Financial gifts are also accepted. More information at 783-2871.
The Star Theater at Moorhead State University offers public planetarium shows every Saturday at 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. Each one-hour show features a full dome video presentation, followed by a star talk highlighting what visitors can see in their own backyard. Schedule and visitor information can be found at moorheadstate.edu/star theater.
The 33rd Annual Advent Musical will be held at 6:30 p.m. on Sunday, December 1st at the Ascension Episcopal Church in Mount Sterling. Reception follows at the Gateway Regional Arts Center. Non-perishable food donations accepted to support the Sterling Community Food Coalition. Tickets are $25 and available at Ruth Hunt Candies or the Gateway Regional Arts Center.
Just a quick reminder, an orientation for the Sheltowee Hiker Challenge will be held at the Share Building in Moorhead tonight from 6:30 to 8 p.m. And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Tanner Boy, Joe Lewis, Greg Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Sarah Mead, Shamari Mosley, Zoe Hall, Cody Robinson, Wyatt Melton, Lori Likens, Nacogdoches Miller, Ty Martin, Chanasty Davis, and Chaz Jenkins. WUKY's Josh James, the Robert Baird Company's Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from the Moorhead State University's own Dr. John Modaff. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY, Moorhead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Jonathan Burton and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers. For WMKY News, All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.